Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. We're here on the air live right now to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Don't wait, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Freedom is the subject this month. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This freedom that we have in Christ is just the most wonderful thing ever. And once you taste it, you never want to go back. But oftentimes we do. And I know as we are speaking live on the radio right now, there are people listening who aren't free. Who are bound up by just could be all sorts of things. It may be religious tradition. It may be the control of others. It could be, you know, a poor self-image. It could be anxiety or fear or anger. There's so many things out there that bind us up. And if you could break free from one thing in your life today, what would it be? That's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. Perhaps you have a testimony of how this gospel message has set you free from something that was so paralyzing in your life. If so, we would love to hear that. That would be a great encouragement to our listeners. So let's talk about the freedom that we have in Christ and how we can truly experience that on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
And again, plenty of open lines and all the time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we are, like I said, talking about freedom. Let's go to an email question as we wait for our callers to get on the line.
Okay, Bob, this is from Joe, who lives in Georgetown, Texas. Says, I believe in justification by faith, meaning as a believer, I cannot lose my salvation. Still, it sounds as if Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 that he can be disqualified from salvation if he does not run a good race. In other words, a life based on good works. So how can I best answer these verses in reference to the questions that I don't run the race to maintain my salvation?
Well, you're not running the race to maintain your salvation. You're just running a race. And you know, Paul is saying, I've been put in this race and I want to run it well. I don't want to let all the things of this world rob me of the prize of what I have in Christ Jesus. And Paul knew that he was put here to minister to the Gentiles, to be a minister of this new covenant, to be a minister of reconciliation into the Gentile world. And so he traveled the world over, proclaiming the good news about Jesus. And he wanted to do that well. He didn't want to mix the old with the new. He didn't want to bring his old way of life into what Christ had given him. He wanted to run that race well. So the two are not parallel passages at all. We're all justified by faith and grace, like he said, like Paul wrote in Ephesians. We are saved by grace through faith. There's no other way to be saved. Now, once we're saved, we have this new life to live, and we get to live that by faith. Let's run that race well. Yeah. Let's not let the things of this world rob us of the opportunity to trust the Lord. Richard?
Yeah, Paul actually gives a perfect example of that in 1 Corinthians. There was in that situation where the guy was involved in sexual sin, and the guy was a leader in the church. And he had disqualified himself from being a leader in the church, and he was hurting the body of Christ. Paul called him on it, told the church that he had to be removed from his office, and then later on said, let's restore him back to into the body because he has repented. He has seen the error of his ways and come back to grace by faith. And so it had nothing to do with his salvation. It had to do with the reality of the work he was doing within the body of Christ and in the outside world.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk with Walter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Walter.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor and brother. I do appreciate it very much, once again, taking my call. I have, two questions. One is reference to the apostles, you know, why is it that they had the power to, well, bring people back to life? You know, even it says in the Gospels that even their handkerchiefs could bring somebody back to life and heal people.
Yeah, quite amazing, wasn't it, as you read through the book of Acts and see all the incredible things that were manifested through them.
Yeah, absolutely. But then I read that, you know, they were no better than us in many ways. You know, the grace that we've received is the same as Paul and Mark and all the other apostles. So could you address that, please?
Well, Walter, how I see it is this, that, you know, Jesus came on the scene. He made some just outlandish claims about himself, you know, that he and the Father are one. He's God in the flesh. He's the bread of life. He's the way, truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. And those are claims that just don't go unnoticed. And he did some things to support those claims. You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but he did so after making the statement that he was the resurrection and the life. He fed the 5,000, but he did so in the context of the statement that he was the bread of life. And so the miracles, even though they met physical needs and they did some, you know, were incredible as far as the miracles themselves go, they were done to support, to undergird the spiritual truths that he was stating in those claims. And the apostles, as they were taking this message of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection out into the world, they were gifted with those powers as well to help bring the message to the ears of listeners, to make people realize that there's something special about what these apostles are saying, and these miracles certainly support that. If these miracles weren't happening, maybe they would be a little skeptical of the message that was being told. So I think as the church was forming and this message was starting to spread out beyond just Jerusalem and the people in Israel, I think God equipped the apostles to do those miracles to show that this truth, people better take a listen to it.
Thank you, Pastor. And I'll make it real quick. My wife is also born again, as I am, and she's about to graduate, thank God, with a degree in English and fine arts. And we're trying to decide whether the Lord's will is for her to use her incredible analytical skills and her communication skills in a professorial or master's in English setting. So we're just wondering if that's where she should be, and or she should consider a more calm setting, as we've seen in a library science degree, working in a library in a very non-combative setting, whereas in an academic setting, I guess at times you can meet up with lots and lots of students and or faculty who are basically preaching a very humanistic, you know, gospel of their own. So that's what we're kind of betwixt. You know, we're deciding where the Lord wants us to be. How does one determine God's will in that regard, say?
Well, Walter, I think a lot of that gets down to kind of desires. I think in both situations, your wife has the opportunity to trust the Lord, and I think that's what God has called us to. That's his will for our lives, is to trust Jesus Christ, to give thanks in all things. So it seems like both of those opportunities, you know, will help in that regard. Neither one of them will hinder her from trusting Jesus. One may be a little more challenging than the other. So I think it just gets down to desires at a certain point in time. What are you gifted in? That's going to help direct you. And then what are the desires of your heart? If she wants to be a professor, if that's something that she feels she's called to, that she really wants to do, then step up, and she can know that God is going to be there with her. And when confrontation comes, I think she can trust the Lord on how to respond, how to interact with those folks. It could be, you know, an incredible opportunity to help people kind of stop and think a little bit about what really is true and about this gospel message. So I think you just kind of put out a list of pros and cons on both, and then kind of pray about it and say, Lord, this is where we believe you're leading us in this regard. And if you find out that's not the right decision, God's got the promise that He's going to work all things together for good. So you don't have to approach this decision making process with fear in your heart at all.
Awesome. Thank you for the great advice, Pastor. God bless you for that, and I appreciate your program. Thank you.
You're welcome, Walter. Thanks for your call, my friend. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, plenty of open lines right now. If you'd like to be a part, if you have something you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go talk to Joe listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Joe.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good, good. Just wanted to comment, and maybe you could add something to it, on eternal salvation. You know, when I was saved in the mid-1950s in a Pentecostal church, you know, and I went there quite a few years, too. Nice people, lovely people. But we were all, you know, we were ingrained with, you know, that not that you're saved, you know, keep the rules and regulations, don't slip and fall because you might wind up back out in the street again and no salvation. And this was ingrained in me, you know, I thought, you know, and but there was this guy that lived a couple of houses from me that was a Baptist, and he used to sit out on his porch and read the Bible all the time, you know. So when I used to walk by, I'd go see him, you know, talk. And I was trying to have a contest with, you know, and I said to him, listen, you know, I knew some guys that went to our church, and they used to get up and testify and praise the Lord and hold their hands up and shout and everything else. And now the guy's gone. He's walking out of the bar room. His wife is, make a whole mess. He couldn't have been saved, you know. And so what do you get to say to that? Like, you know, and the guy would say to me, Joe, was the guy ever saved? You know if he was saved or not. And I couldn't understand what he meant. You know, the guy showed he was saved. He said, that's not the point. The point, only God knows your heart. You know, just like Judas, you know. Jesus knew his character. He knew what he was made of. You know, God knows what we're made out of wax or we're made out of clay. If the heat is applied, clay will harden, but wax will melt. And God knows that. And so we can't determine. In other words, sure, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. But people are going through a process. And sometimes we presume that they have backslidden to a point where they can lose their salvation. But I've learned throughout those years that's not true. It's just like when Jesus was on the shore waiting for the boys to come down off the boat. Peter gets there and they know he was Jesus. You don't trust him. That's the Lord. And what did Jesus say to him? He didn't say, "Why, Peter, you dirty rat."
Well, Joe, Joe, do you have a question on that, or you just wanted to?
Yeah. My question is can you lose your eternal salvation? See what you say.
Well, Joe, the answer is no. You can't lose your eternal salvation. Actually, on our website, basicgospel.net, there's an article right on the front page. Do you have assurance of salvation? And we address that particular question in that article. And again, that's at basicgospel.net. But that brings us to the point and another question, what is salvation? And I think that's what we have to really answer. When this good news of Jesus Christ hits a heart, the heart responds by faith, what happens? What does God do with that person at that moment in time? Well, we call that salvation. We call that a person is being saved. What does that mean? And when we can answer that question, what is salvation, then the second question, can we have assurance of salvation, is a real easy one to answer. And it's yes, we can. So salvation is this. It is going from death to life. That was our big problem. We sinned, and we certainly needed forgiveness. Well, Jesus' death on the cross took away our sins, and when we come to Him by faith, we receive that forgiveness. But there was a deeper consequence, and that was death. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told them, on the day that you eat, you will surely die. Well, they did not die physically that day. Adam lived to be 930 years of age, but he did die spiritually. There was a separation that took place between Adam and God. And we see that as he was cast out of the garden and God put angels there so that they could not get back into the garden. And so they experienced death, spiritual death. And that death was passed on and has been passed on to every single human being born on this planet. We all come into this world separated from the life of God. So salvation is restoring that life. It is making us alive together with Christ. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. We have been saved by grace. So what is grace? It's God's act to make us alive in Christ. Well, now that we're alive, can we ever die again? Well, we'll die physically, but we'll never die spiritually. Why? Because the thing that killed us to begin with has been dealt with once and for all by Jesus. Sin has been taken away. Jesus took the punishment for us, so there's no punishment for us. So we have eternal salvation. As the writer of Hebrews writes, we have been saved completely by Jesus. So,
amen.
So that's the good news.
Amen. That's a good answer. Good answer. I've always said that God doesn't make no mistakes, because then he wouldn't be God. If he saved you, he saved you, no matter what you're going through, or so forth. If you're saved, you're saved. God doesn't say, oh, I made a mistake here. Oh, I'm very sorry. You know, he knows who he has called. Jesus told Peter, I knew you before you were even made. I called you before time ever was here. Praise the Lord.
And Peter was made alive, and you, Joe, when you came to Christ by faith, you were made alive. I was made alive. Bob Davis was. Richard Pfeiffer. That's what this gospel message does. It's the good news about Jesus, that he's a Savior, that he saves us through his death, burial, and resurrection. When that message hits our hearts and our hearts respond with faith, we're made alive. Just as he was raised from the dead physically, we're raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. Well, Joe, thanks for your call today.
Praise the Lord.
We
Thank
sure
you,
appreciate
brother.
It. You're welcome. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a CD series we would love for you to have called Gateway to Grace. You hang on, okay?
Let's talk just a little bit about that also, Bob, because we've had a terrific response from our listeners for the offer of this, for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Basic Gospel. And it's a special product that we're making available this month under that particular condition. 6 messages and a study guide that really expose the phony and boring side of religion. Gateway to Grace, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Simply go online to that particular website, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 and ask our operator for yours as you make your gift to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, Richard, Joe brings up a great, great question. Can we have assurance of salvation? I think that's a question that's on a lot of people's hearts and minds, something they may wrestle with. They may lose sleep over at night wondering if indeed they are saved. But as we were talking with Joe, it brings us back to an even more important question. What is salvation? And I think one of the reasons we see some of the problems in the church today is because we're operating from a faulty premise. We're looking at salvation as simply forgiveness of sins or a golden ticket that gets us into heaven when we die. If that's all somebody's understanding of the gospel is, you know, their life is going to reflect it. It's going to be one of struggle, one of frustration, one of fear, one of guilt. That's why in all of our conversations, we have to take somebody right back to the gospel message and find out what their understanding of salvation is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I look back in my own life and the struggles I had. I had the the impression, I don't know where I got it, but I believed it fully, that, yes, I was saved by grace initially, but then I had something to do with maintaining that salvation. And so I didn't have the golden ticket, nor did I know I was alive. And being in that zombie no man's land was a terrible, terrible thing. And it took some hard years to figure out. You know, God sent people into our lives to ask us interesting questions and took us into His Word and said, you know, really read this. Don't just gloss over it. Really read it and say, what does this mean to me? And He showed us, my wife and I, that really salvation is life. And if He gives you life, He's not taking it away. And it really does have an incredible impact on your everyday existence when you realize that you have the absolute assurance of salvation. Nothing can take it away from you. You're not condemned. When you find yourself out in the muck and the mire, you also discover that the Holy Spirit is right out there with you, telling you, let's go back. I can show you how to get back. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live, because it's the only way to experience meaningful change.
Right. Like me in my life for a number of years, fear was a constant companion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just always right there. I was scared to death that,
Is this going to be the last time?
That's right. There's going to be punishment. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to live.
No.
And that's one of the things that I experienced freedom from that fear of punishment. And that was just marvelous, to be able to rest in the finished work of Christ Jesus and not to go through life as you're walking on eggshells. You know, every time you turn, you're making sure that you're doing everything right so God isn't going to get mad at you or God isn't going to punish you. That's just not a way to live, and that's what this gospel message frees people from, that fear, that guilt. And along with that are all of those rituals that we put in place to make sure that when we do mess up, that we've got a formula to work through that's going to make everything A-okay. And that's not real life either.
No.
So when we understand this gospel message, the fact that it's going from death to life spiritually, that's where Jesus takes us. We were dead. He takes us into life. And this life is, based on the love of God. It's an experience of the love of God. And when we know that, that casts away all of that fear. So that is the good news of the gospel. That's why we want to put this series, Gateway to Grace, in people's hands. It is really kind of a logical laying out of the gospel message, starting with the new covenant, then taking a look at Jesus. You know, if we don't know who Jesus is, this gospel message kind of falls apart. But when we realize that He's God in the flesh, then we have something to really trust in and rely upon, someone to trust in and rely upon. But that's why we want to get this into your hands for a gift of any amount this month through Basic Gospel. Since this is a listener-supported broadcast, we need help. And we want to say thank you to those who help us. And so that's the reason we want to put this in your hand. So help us out this month. Help us connect others to the love of God. Help us answer questions like Joe's. Can we have assurance of salvation? You can just imagine that Joe's just one of thousands of people out there who are struggling, who are wondering, who have that question. Help us answer that to as many people as possible with this simple yet powerful basic gospel message. And you have all the information on how they can go about getting that, don't you?
I couldn't have said that any better. You did good. Well, thanks to you and Richard for holding forth, as always, at Basic Gospel, because our listeners call, and these are very serious questions that people have. And this particular series, Gateway to Grace, will go a long way toward answering so many of those. You can get your copy for a gift of any amount this month of July, by visiting the website basicgospel.net, again, basicgospel.net, or by calling 1-800-727-2828. Also, remember to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.